welcome everyone. I'm Mike.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Ben. And we're the hosts of the Four True Crime Idiots podcast.
Hi, guys.
What's up? How's it going?
Ready for this week?
Yes.
Yeah. I was watching an episode of the Dead Files this morning, and on one of the cases that they were doing, I think it was a house or townhouse. I'm trying to remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But there was someone who had gotten murdered there on the property. And I think it happened in the, I don't know what year it happened, to be honest with you. But she was reliving the murder. She described it to the T. Because when the Steve, what's his last name? Steve DeShavi?
Something like that, right? Yeah.
Went to go talk to the police officers over there. And the guy was saying that they didn't have any suspects, but that guy, Henry Lee...
Lucas?
Was saying that he was the one who did it, supposedly. But he didn't think he did it. That he did someone else, but... It was a real brutal crime. She was describing it, like, what happened to the girl. I don't know what year it happened.
Yeah.
Maybe the 70s or 80s.
What are we coming to today, guys?
Sherri Ann Jarvis.
This is my first time hearing about it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like a little-known case. Another one here in Texas.
It happened here in Texas?
Yeah. Over there by Huntsville.
Huntsville. That's not the same area. It was in the same area that they keep finding all those women bodies. What's it called? I... 45?
No. That's over there by Houston, I think.
That was more in Houston?
Yeah.
The Killing Fields?
Yeah.
That was the Killing Fields, right?
Yeah.
The I-45 is a whole another killing, right?
I think so.
They're like two different things?
I think so.
Yeah, the I-45 is...
Different, right? Or is it the same?
I think the same.
It's the same.
Oh.
But I think because there's a movie called the I-45 Killings or something like that. No, it wasn't a Lifetime movie.
You already knew my
yes.
You already knew my question.
I forgot. If I don't know if it was like a movie,
uh-huh.
or if it was one of those
made for TV
movies. Oh.
But yes,
the Killing Fields and the I-45 are the same.
Yes, I think so.
And then there's another one kind of like that too. I think in the Canada, right? Where they call them the crying
Trail of Tears.
The Trail of Tears, right? Is it in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good, we need to cover that because yeah, it's very interesting.
That just made the list. All right, guys.
Let's go on to the Idiot Criminals Club.
Welcome to the Four True Crime Idiots podcast, Idiot Criminals Club. And here is today's Idiot Criminal Club inductee. Take it away, Mike.
When your getaway car is an EV, charge it first. Georgia police say they busted thieves not far from the crime scene, charging their Tesla. By Polly Davis Doig, user staff posted March 6, 2023. When endeavoring to avoid headlines for criminal idiocy with a green flare, you'd best remember one simple rule. Charge the EV in which you are attempting to flee the scene of your crime. As Fox 5 reports, police say two would-be criminal masterminds robbed gaming systems from an unnamed store in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Responding officers were told that they fled in a Tesla, put out a description to fellow cops, and wouldn't you know it, the devious twosome were located not far from the crime scene, charging the aforementioned Tesla. Police say they recovered the gaming systems along with several guns and what they believe is 2 pounds of marijuana. The suspects were not identified in the tweet, applauding the work of officers from Gwinnett County Police Department.
They didn't charge their cars?
I mean, but if you have a Tesla, wait, did they steal the Tesla? Or is that
No, that was their getaway car.
Well, I mean, you have a Tesla, why are you be robbing to go get gaming systems?
So I like gas, guys.
Oh my gosh.
You can actually run out of gas too, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You would think that they would charge it. It would be part of the plan.
Right.
Make sure the car is charged.
Whoever was in charge of that.
Unless it was a spontaneous... Hey, let's go rob some gaming systems.
True.
We have enough
but like,
electricity left in our car to go. it was at 2%.
They were high tech.
Yeah, they had weed with them.
Two pounds of it, man.
All because they didn't charge their car.
No weed, no gaming systems, and their guns are gone.
Tesla. Elon Musk. Great guy.
Great man. Great American. Well, I don't know, he's not American.
He's South African. He made Twitter good again.
Hey, that SpaceX, is he the one that did the SpaceX?
He's the owner of that too.
So he built like a little community around the area for those who work on it?
I guess so, Boca Chica, I think.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that area, but because it might be. Yeah, probably.
Well, no, because I keep hearing some people like saying that they're living in the SpaceX community or whatever, but that's for those who work there?
Yeah.
That's
cool. Right?
Wow.
Right?
I think it was last year he went to Charles Days, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, they did that meme with him with the... I mean, was it the elote stick? No, it was all
probably.
Or was it a thing of onion rings?
Maybe it was a launcher. Well,
yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I think so.
The torta?
Yeah, there we go. That's what it was.
What's the difference between...
I don't even know.
What's the difference between a torta and a lonche? What's it called?
A lonche?
Yeah.
Lonche is bread.
Oh,
I think a torta is
it.
It's like something else.
So what's a torta?
I don't know what it's made from, but it's not bread.
Oh, maybe it's like...
I'm doing a flauta.
Like a corn tortilla.
That's a tortilla. That's a corn. That's a taco.
Well, I'm just saying, but maybe it's like that, but thicker. Like it's like...
Yeah, it's like... It's almost like a tortilla, but like,
really?
It's like thick.
I always thought torta was a sandwich.
No, that's the lonche.
The lonche is like the ones
from lonche's
the
bread.
Oh, shit.
It's like
those
bolillo breads that you just cut in the middle.
Yeah.
I want to try that. That's good.
They're good.
With
bistec
and some...
I just had to get past the smothered in mayonnaise.
With the special Mexican sauce that they sometimes put on there?
Yeah.
I love Mexican food, man.
Who doesn't?
I know. Pity the fool who doesn't. Now again, Mr. Ice-T, don't sue me.
Ice-T? Ice-T,
Mr. T. Ice-T? Is
it done? Yep. I pity the fools.
I never tried that lonches though.
No.
When they used to have that door. Is that door one still there by Ramiro's or whatever his name is?
I know what you're talking about.
What's his name? The one that has that
Ramon
across from the laundry detergent. Ramon, there you go.
Yeah.
Ramon. They used to have I think the name of the little stand was Dora, and they would sell the lonches there.
Mm. Okay.
They look good. I just never tried them.
They're pretty good.
Ooh, I like gorditas. Have you ever tried a gorditas?
Yeah, of course.
I miss that Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
I miss that Taco Bell doesn't have them there anymore.
The gorditas, yeah.
They still have them there?
The gorditas, yeah.
For real? But like in the combo?
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go and look because...
They still have the gorditas.
I used to get the Supreme one.
Yeah.
The sour cream tomato.
Chili cheese burrito for me.
Oh, you like that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the murder of Sherry Jarvis, but she was known as Walker County Jane Doe.
Sherry Ann Jarvis was from Forest Lake, Minnesota, whose body was discovered in Huntsville, Texas on November 1st, 1980. Her body was discovered within hours of her sexual assault and murder and remained unidentified for 41 years before investigators announced her identification via forensic genealogy in November 2021.
She was from Minnesota. I wonder what she was doing in Texas.
Maybe her family moved down here?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Ran away? Maybe.
Yeah, probably ran away. Well, yeah.
Maybe.
I think she was a runaway.
But it took them that long to identify her, but does that mean that she was unrecognizable when they found her?
They just didn't.
Or they just didn't know who she was?
No, she was... I've seen, like, pictures of her, and she didn't look that beat up.
She didn't look that beat up? If she was unidentified for 41 years, does that mean that her family wasn't even looking for her?
Maybe they were, but they didn't know where she was. She must have hitchhiked to Texas, right? The only thing I can think of.
That's the only way. How did she get so far?
Right?
Had to.
Or did someone bring her?
Well, no, like you said, that if she was a runaway, then she probably hitchhiked with somebody.
Right.
All the way to Texas. Now, whether she stayed with that person while she was in Texas, or were they the ones who did it to her?
Mm-hmm.
Despite initial efforts to discover both her identity and that of her murderers, the investigation into Jarvis's murder gradually became a cold case. Numerous efforts were made to determine her identity, including several forensic facial reconstructions of how she may have appeared in life. The investigation into her murder is ongoing. Prior to her identification, Jarvis was known as a Walker County Jane Doe, in reference to the county in which her body was discovered and where she was later buried in a donated casket.
I don't understand. I thought I saw pictures of her and her face was like...
She was recognizable.
Yeah. So why did they have to redo it?
I have no idea.
It's weird.
Maybe she had some broken bones in her face or something.
True.
That they have to kind of like reconstruct before they They put her to rest.
True.
She looked a little bit weird, but it was recognizable.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the pictures. I was going to say, like, I haven't seen the pictures either, but...
Yeah.
If to you guys, it was recognizable. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it was recognizable...
Well, not recognizable.
But if they were somewhat doing, like...
What's that word I'm looking for?
I don't know. I think it's just because no one was looking for her, though. That's the thing. I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, but... What did I tell you? Oh, man... Maybe they were looking for her, but like in Minnesota, around that area. You know what I mean?
They didn't expect her to be so far away.
Yeah, so far south.
I see what you mean. Because back then they only did the milk carton thing, right?
Well, that, yeah.
Or was that... And maybe, oh, no, but was that before or after Adam Walsh?
I don't know.
Maybe after.
The milk carton, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm just... Maybe they didn't expect her to be so far down. Yeah. Down
south. Well, no, because I'm saying because if they... Because didn't they...
So
didn't they
do? Maybe they were looking for her. I mean, that's weird. Kind of true.
I'm sure they were. I just can't see, you know, a runaway's parents not looking for them.
Right.
Like you said, they just didn't expect her to be so far away.
Yeah.
Sherry was born on March 9th, 1966, and she disappeared on March 9th, 1980, in Stillwater, Minnesota.
She went missing on her birthday?
Yeah.
Her birthday.
Wow. That's sad.
Sherry was 14 years old when she disappeared.
And she was young, too.
Yeah. Dang. You think maybe she could have been kidnapped instead of a runaway?
That's true.
Maybe, but maybe she escaped.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Maybe a runaway.
That too.
Runaway or kidnapped?
Yeah. Two solutions. They're not solutions. Never mind.
I bet the authorities were also looking, like, in Texas area for missing people. Nobody expected her to be from Minnesota.
Minnesota, right.
That's probably why it took so long.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the discovery of her body.
On November 1st, 1980, the new body of a girl estimated to be between the ages of 14 and 18 was discovered by a truck driver who had been driving past the Sam Houston National Forest. The truck driver called police at 9:20 a.m. to report his discovery.
Oh, so she was like on the side of the road?
I guess so. That's what they made it seem like.
Hmm.
I mean, side of the road, well, yeah, because unless the truck driver had pulled over and got off and was walking around.
Yeah, I think it was on the side of the road.
Yeah.
All I've heard. Like in a grassy area?
Yeah.
I wonder if he thought it was a mannequin.
I don't know, but that's
good. They're never mannequins.
Not everyone's just paying attention to the side of the road.
Right.
She was lying face down in an area of grass approximately 20 feet from the shoulder of Interstate Highway 45, and just 2 miles north of Huntsville. The victim had been deceased for approximately 6 hours, thus placing her time of death around 3:20 a.m. So she hadn't been dead too long.
Yep.
Wow.
She disappeared on March 9th, 1980, right?
Yeah.
And didn't find her till November 1st. That's like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good... It's like 7 months.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, then that's a whole different ballgame there, because that means from the moment she had either got kidnapped or disappeared, she mm-hmm. was still alive.
Yeah.
Until November.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means that she had to be staying with someone then.
True.
Yeah.
And then,
that is true.
So maybe she was a runaway. She took off with somebody that she knew.
That's possible too. That's possible,
right?
Yeah.
A rectangular brown pendant containing a smoky blue or brown glass colored stone on a thin gold chain necklace was found around her neck. Her ears were pierced, although no earrings were found on her ears nor at the crime scene. High-heeled red leather sandals with light brown straps, which investigators would subsequently discover the girl had been seen carrying while alive, were also recovered from the scene, although the remainder of her clothing was missing.
Well, they don't know who she was. How do they know she was carrying the high heels around?
I guess, like, people saw her.
Witnesses?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe she was walking around the area, and, like, people saw her?
Yeah.
So then maybe somebody random picked her up?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Perhaps.
So, it wasn't a robbery, because she didn't take the necklace.
Oh, yeah, you mean like she wasn't, like, robbed or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they left
gold,
her necklace, yeah, and her shoes, but they took her clothes.
Yeah.
So but it's like in the 80s, all the kids were running wild at that time.
Mm-hmm. So, like, people were, like I said, they probably saw her walking around. Why wasn't she, maybe her shoes hurt?
But high-heeled shoes, were they, like actual high-heeled shoes or, like, wedges?
Don't know.
All right. So, now we're going to talk about her autopsy.
The victim was approximately 5 feet 6 inches in height, weighed between 105 and 120 pounds, and was described by the Harris County Medical Examiner as being a well-nourished individual. Her eyes were hazel, and her hair was approximately 10 inches in length, and light brown in color, with what has been described as a possible reddish tint, although her hair bore no evidence of having received color treatment.
She was well taken care of.
She was taken care of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, was she kidnapped, or was she, did she just willingly went with someone who just...
I don't know, it just says she ran away.
But did anyone, has anyone talked to her? Oh, but they don't know who her family is, right?
Well, at this point, they don't.
At this point, they don't.
At this point, they don't. She was with somebody that was taking care of her.
Yep. She seemed to be in good health.
Right.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. For her to be missing since the day of her birthday, 14th birthday.
Yeah.
Up until November, and she was with somebody that was taking care of her.
Mm-hmm.
Which, maybe, she, like I said, maybe she took off with somebody that she knew, and they're, you know, taking care of her.
Yep.
Maybe.
Maybe it was like an older man that she wanted to be with, and like an 18-year-old. I'm not saying like a 20, 30-year-old. Oh,
yeah.
Like, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Old enough to take care of her. What, her dental records were good too, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Then maybe an older man did? Because I couldn't see an 18-year-old taking that good care of a 14-year-old as far as getting dental work on her. And
unless you just met someone at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Her fingernails were bare and her toenails had been painted pink. Distinctive features upon her body were a vertical scar measuring 1.5 inches at the edge of her right eyebrow, and her right nipple was inverted. She had scars.
Well, she had time to take care of her nails and, her toenails.
Yeah. Probably ran away, man.
Maybe she was going, like I'm saying, like, it was so different back in the day. You know what I'm trying to get at? Like, as far as, like, dating goals and stuff like that?
Yeah, but...
Maybe she ran away with someone that was taking care of her. But like Mike said, like, maybe she went on her own somewhere and she just met someone at the wrong time. Isn't that unusual for us girls to like paint our toenails out of the blue?
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Maybe she just got tired of wherever she was at and wanted to go run back home.
That could be true too. And maybe she, you know, was asking, you know, like, hey, where are you going? You know, can I ride with you?
Yeah. She got in the wrong car.
She just wanted... Yeah, she went with
the wrong person. Oh, we'll probably discuss this later. Maybe she knew someone in Huntsville, the prison.
He was in prison?
Well, that's where the prison is.
Yeah.
That's the state prison.
Is that where she was found, around the prison area?
Huntsville.
Oh.
You know what I mean? We're gonna probably discuss it later, but I wonder if she was, like, going there to meet someone, the prisoner, maybe?
Yeah.
Probably, man. Due to the general condition of Sherry's body, including her overall health, nutrition, and the excellent dental care she had received in life, she was believed to have hailed from a middle-class household.
So she was like... Like we said,
well-taken
she
care
was
of.
Taking a walk. Yeah.
Yeah. While she was away from her town.
Like, in her town.
Yeah. So does that mean that she was living in the Huntsville area then?
Well, no, because she was from Minnesota.
Okay, but when she disappeared, though, when she went missing, it was in Minnesota, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, but from the time she left Minnesota up to they found her body, she was well taken care of. And I'm wondering if she went from Minnesota straight to Huntsville, and that's where she was at.
Maybe she's just from Minnesota, but was living in Texas.
I mean, that could happen too, but...
Right?
But, I mean, it says that she disappeared from Minnesota, right?
Oh, yeah. Correct.
That's what I'm understanding.
Yeah. She disappeared on March 9th, 1980 in Stillwater, Minnesota.
Okay,
so
there you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so she was living in Huntsville the whole time? She had to be.
I don't know. That's just...
Or was she just bouncing around from here to there, and then that was her last stop, and that's where
I think no one knows, really.
Yeah, no one really knows.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great mystery. The cause of death was certified by the coroner to be asphyxia due to a ligature strangulation, possibly inflicted via a pantyhose. Fragments of her pantyhose and her underwear were found inside the victim's vaginal cavity. The pantyhose and underwear had likely been placed inside the girl's vaginal cavity in an attempt to prevent her body from bleeding as she was transported to the site of her discovery, as the girl had been sexually assaulted with a large blunt instrument both vaginally and anally, and these acts had occurred prior to her death.
Oh,
damn.
Jeez. She wasn't sexually assaulted like the normal way, right?
No.
That was probably just to hide, just so they won't get in trouble. Whoever did it. They
won't have DNA.
Yeah, they won't have DNA on them.
Yeah.
Which is why it's still ongoing right now, probably. Mm-hmm. Right?
Jeez.
That's savage.
But if she was wearing pantyhose, that means that she was dressed up then?
Well, and heels.
I think so.
So I'm wondering, how long has sex trafficking been going on? I mean, do you think possibly that could have been happening back then too?
Probably,
because we're just hearing about it, you know,
recently.
But mm-hmm. who knows how long it's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she was the victim of it. And that's why she was with her pantyhose and, you know, heels and all that.
That's sad.
It is. And that's why maybe she was getting taken real care of.
Near Gumir?
Yeah.
It is unknown if the girl had actually been conventionally as no biological evidence attesting to this form of assault was discovered either at the crime scene or in the subsequent coroner's examination of her body. So they don't know.
So they don't know.
If she was conventionally
Like
a normal.
Like normal?
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, that is normal. Never mind.
But I know what you mean. Like,
yeah.
Because the instruments.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sucks.
Yeah, man. Furthermore, the girl had also been the recipient of a severe beating, which had been inflicted prior to her death, as many bruises were evident across her body, with her lips and right eyelid in particular being extensively swollen. In addition, the right shoulder of the descendant's body bore a deep and visible bite mark.
Oof. Well, they couldn't get DNA from
that? Well, I was just going to say, like, there's some bite marks. So they couldn't, like, what did you?
Swab it,
and then, you know.
Get, like, the teeth impressions also?
Yeah, exactly. Like, get the
Yeah, the bite marks.
Yeah, and see if they can match it to anyone in the
database or something. Yeah.
You think they would?
Well, right. Well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe they didn't have the equipment back then. It was the 80s, so, I mean, you know.
True. But you could swab. They used to swab.
And just see?
Yeah.
That's how they got a few of these guys right there.
Yeah.
Serial killers.
I bet they can do it now with that thing where you see familiar. Ancestors and all that.
What do you call it?
Oh, familial DNA.
Yeah, there you go.
Familial DNA.
Yeah. Wow.
DNA tests and stuff like that.
You'd think they'd be able to get the teeth impressions back then, too, though.
Right?
DNA was different back then.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about the investigation and sightings.
Following exhaustive witness appeals and extensive media accounts regarding this murder, numerous individuals, all of whom are now deceased, informed investigators they had seen a teenage girl matching the descendant's description within the 24 hours prior to her murder. These individuals include the manager of a South End Gulf station and two employees at the Hitch and Post truck stop, all of whom described this girl as wearing blue jeans, a dirty yellow pullover, and a white knit sweater, with noticeably large pockets which extended past her waist. This girl had been carrying red leather-strapped high-heel sandals.
Okay, so this sighting was prior to her, like, right before her death?
That's what I'm thinking.
So then she must have been with the trucker then. If they were at a truck stop.
Possibly.
And they have showers and stuff. Well, I don't know back in the day, but now they have, like, in some of those gas stations,
mm-hmm.
they have, like, showers for the truckers and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
I think there's one, like, in Combs.
Yeah.
Like, were you going to Santa Rosa?
Yeah.
Lowe's.
Yeah, that one has showers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Forgot we have a Lowe's now.
Yeah.
I feel like just going there to hang out.
they have cool stuff there, playing. Too. They have, like... Right,
just going. We have Buc-ee's down here.
Yes.
Oh, I know. I've never been to a Buc-ee's.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's like a big, huge convenience store. Right? Yeah. How dare you, Ben? You're Texan.
But she
never
was
been to one.
Dare you?
Never been to one.
But in the sightings, they're saying that she was wearing blue jeans and a dirty yellow pullover, so she wasn't really dressed up then.
No.
But she was just wearing her heels.
Yeah. So, like, a few people saw her.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, okay.
And they described what she was wearing. So she was wearing blue jeans, a dirty yellow pullover, and a white knit sweater.
So whoever has...
She was wearing a pullover, but aren't pullovers like a sweater too? Like a hoodie?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
but
I think
also
so.
With a white knit sweater? Uh-huh. So she was wearing a hoodie with a sweater over it?
Well, did they have hoodies back then?
Well, I mean, they have to have, right?
I don't know. So maybe the truck grew up with it. Whoever killed her, maybe they had the pantyhose with them.
Well, they had, well, one was found inside her, yeah. Being wrapped up. So they
are little pieces, yeah.
Fragments.
Fragments
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, like pieces of it. So they must have, whoever, the killer must have had the pantyhose with them.
Yeah.
Right? I'm assuming. They weren't really hers. Unless she had them with her.
She wasn't wearing any panty, like you said, yeah, like he had them with him.
Yeah.
Maybe he had, like, a girl and she left her pantyhose in there.
Yeah, maybe he said it before.
Unless he's a cross-dresser and he had it for himself.
Well, that, or maybe he just killed someone.
What if he's a cross-dresser and he had him? Because why is a guy going to be carrying pantyhose? All right.
No, but... you said maybe a cross-dresser?
Well, he could. Maybe he was, but maybe he picked up a hooker or something. Aren't the truck stop known to have streetwalkers walking around there back in the day?
True.
Remember? So maybe one popped in, she just left her pantyhose, and he had them there.
And he just kept them?
And maybe he was a perv, or maybe he was all like, I want you to try these pantyhose, and she's like, no.
Or if he did kill before, sometimes they'd like to keep stuff from the victims.
That's what I just said. But you shut me down right away.
Sorry.
True.
You shut me down right away.
Hey, calm down. I said I was sorry.
According to the first witness, the girl appearing somewhat disheveled had arrived at the South End Golf Station at approximately 6:30 p.m. on October 31st. At this location, she exited a blue 1973 or 1974 model Chevrolet Caprice with a light-colored top, which had been driven by a white male.
So she was with
a trucker, no.
So she was, but she looked disheveled.
Disheveled.
But, like, could that mean also, like, maybe she, like, had just woken up? From the car ride, and she went to go ask for directions.
True. Maybe she was taking a nap.
Yeah, and you know how we all look when we just wake up?
Yeah.
And she went to go ask for directions. But they never said anything about the white male getting off or anything, right?
Just that first witness. She was with someone, but not a trucker.
With a light-colored top, does that mean it was white?
Possibly.
Right?
Yeah. And she was with a white male.
Yeah.
This witness stated the girl had asked for directions to the Texas Department of Corrections Ellis Prison Farm. After receiving directions, the girl had left the Gulf on foot and was later seen walking north on Sam Houston Avenue.
So she was asking for the directions to a prison, right?
Yep.
What's it called? The prison farm?
Texas Department of Corrections Ellis Farm? Prison Farm?
Ellis Prison Farm.
Yeah.
But what is that? Is this a regular prison?
I'm assuming.
So she didn't drive with the guy, she just started walking?
Yeah.
So she must have hitchhiked a ride with him then.
Mm-hmm. She was just hitching rides.
Left and right. Okay.
She was.
This same girl was later seen at the Hitch and Post truck stop alongside Interstate 45, where she again requested directions to the Texas Department of Corrections Ellis Prison Farm, claiming a friend was waiting for her at this location.
Okay, so obviously not a prisoner.
No.
Unless it was a prisoner saying that he's waiting for her to show up.
True.
Because I wouldn't know why a friend would say, hey, meet me at the Texas Department Corrections Ellis Prison Farm.
That's true. I was thinking, maybe it's that person that she's hitching a ride with. Maybe he had a friend that is in prison.
That's true.
And he told her to meet her there.
Maybe he was going to bust him out.
Maybe.
Maybe they made a plan. Because from what I was reading, a lot of people have been trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
But no one's really done it, though. That's the thing. They all attempted,
but they
never actually did it. Yeah. Because they're saying, like, this prison alone, I'm not saying, like, all the other prisons aren't hard. But they're saying, like, with this one, that the warden that was running it, I don't know how long he ran it, though, but he was real tough.
Like I said, maybe he had a friend that was in prison.
And then they were trying to get out.
Yeah, or maybe just visiting his friend.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he was all like, was it you been that said that maybe she was trying to get back home?
Yeah.
So maybe the guy was all like, well, I'm going to go here.
See your friend real fast.
See my friend and I'll take you
back
this far.
Yeah.
Because a prison is a pretty random place to meet up at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of theories that can go on here.
Yeah.
In response, a waitress drew a map providing directions to the prison farm, which she then handed to the girl. This waitress informed investigators that she had suspected the girl was a runaway, and that their brief conversation, the girl had informed her that she was from either Rockport or Aransas Pass, Texas. The girl also claimed to this waitress that she was 19 years old when the waitress had expressed doubts as to her claimed age and further asked if her parents knew her whereabouts. The girl had reportedly replied, "Who cares?"
Okay, so she wasn't trying to go back home.
No.
Okay.
Let's shut your idea down, mate.
Real quick.
Real quick. When she had said, when the waitress had asked if her parents knew where she was at, and she said, "Who cares?"
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's when I'm like, that's what I was trying to get at. Like, did her family even care that she had just taken off? And maybe that's why they, seems like, you know, they weren't really looking.
Yeah.
And I get where y'all saying, because maybe they were just passing out or letting people know around there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But, I mean, word of mouth, though?
Boy, yeah, but it's like a, it's like a far distance between Minnesota and...
When someone from Georgia can be missing and people here in Texas hear about it, like, true, through the Amber Alert.
Well, not even from, no, it's just Texas.
It's the Amber Alert.
Well, Texas. When we get Amber Alerts and things, this is Texas area.
Well, wow. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay, but like, in the newspaper, like, run an ad in the newspaper saying...
Oh, well, yeah, well, yeah.
Like, my daughter's been missing since I don't know when, and we still haven't...
Mm-hmm.
Make it, like...
Water. Depends on which newspaper they give it to.
So now we're going to talk about the Ellis Prison Farm for a bit.
Both inmates and employees of the Ellis Prison Farm were canvassed and shown mortuary photos of the victim, although none were able to identify her. According to one detective, only one inmate was of similar age to the victim, although investigators were never able to establish a connection between the two.
No, because I don't think she was there for them.
Yeah.
I think it was the person who she was with was the one visiting the prison. Yeah. I wonder if they talked to, like visitors that went to visit.
Well, I was gonna say, like, I wonder since they know that she was with a white male, but they don't have a description of him. Mm-hmm. But if they went around asking, like, do you know anyone who drives this type of car?
Yeah.
You know, with the light top and I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they're prisoners, and if they think their friend is in danger with the cops, they're not gonna say, like,
yeah,
they're not. Or no, I don't. Unless they're backstabbers and are like, well, what can I get out of it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators also traveled to both the Rockport and Aransas Pass districts to converse with law enforcement personnel regarding any missing females whose physical description matched that of the victim. Staff at schools in both districts were also contacted by investigators for the same purpose, and numerous Texas high school books were searched for any female known to be missing whose physical features matched her description.
See, I was wondering about that, too. If they would go to, like, say, for instance, she disappeared in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and from, I guess because they're not going to know exactly what route they're going to take.
Yeah.
But, like, when they found her body in Huntsville, I'm wondering if they would retrace back, you know I'm trying to get at?
Starting
from there, from Huntsville, and then trace her all the way back to Minnesota, like, a route that they would...
Well, yeah, but I don't know...
Go to different cities.
That'd be kind of hard because you don't know which way they went. I'm pretty sure there's more than one way to get from here to there.
I would say maybe, like, start with the shortest way.
The main route?
The main route. I mean, unless, I don't think you can take the back roads from...
No.
Right?
But I think they went to Rockport and Aransas Pass because of what she was telling the waitress.
So right? I'm wondering if they were going from, like, city to city, just, like, staying at a city for a couple of months and then...
Just...
When people start questioning about them.
Yeah.
And that's when they will leave.
City to city?
Yeah, from city to city?
Maybe, but I don't know. Possibly.
Are those two Texas cities near Huntsville?
Well, where's Huntsville? Is it near Houston?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, what about the other two?
Rockport and Aransas Pass
are...
Above Corpus, right?
Above Corpus, yeah.
Those are around Corpus?
Yeah. They're around, like, north of Corpus.
Yeah, around Gulf area.
Yeah. So she knew where those two towns were. Like, if you were new to Texas, you wouldn't know those
two cities. No, probably not.
So maybe those were, like, maybe the two cities they had stayed in, and then they were going...
Maybe.
She was doing a lot of moving around.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, what if she was kidnapped?
Mm-hmm.
And those were the two cities. Maybe the Rockport was the first one. Or what's first? Rockport or...
I don't know. I have to see it. Aransas. Aransas Pass.
Maybe they were going to Huntsville to visit, like you said, their friend in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe from here to there, maybe she wanted out.
Could be it.
You know what I'm trying to get at? Maybe she wanted out and he... Or maybe he wasn't really making moves on her until then and she just...
Tried to see what was happening.
Or his motive.
Between them, yeah.
Yeah.
All these lines of inquiry failed to bear fruit. and no missing person reports relating to young Caucasian females were ever matched to the victim at the time. Despite the fact that police and media appeals in the towns of Rockport or Aransas Pass to discover the identity of the victim failed to produce any fruitful leads as to her identity, it was thought that she may have indeed hailed from the general region. She had stated to the waitress at the Hitch and Post truck stop that evening prior to her murder.
So what they're trying to say is because when they put it out that she was that they had a missing person or that they couldn't identify her.
Mm-hmm. I think they thought she was from there.
Yeah.
But they didn't know she was from Minnesota. Yeah, I think that's the...
So, but did they go on the news and say that they discovered a body and they're needing help?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that has to be in the area. Minnesota.
Well, not really, not local news. From Rockport and Port Aransas?
Well, I mean...
They're not actually...
identifying her.
Yeah.
They didn't reach...
I don't think they might have reached that far.
Even if they did put her on the news... I don't think that anybody would have come forward because she's a runaway. Yes.
Now we're discussing her funeral.
On January 16th, 1981, the unidentified girl was buried at the Atticus Addition at Oakwood Cemetery. Her burial followed an open casket funeral, and the cemetery in which she was interred is located within the city where her body was found. She is buried beneath a tombstone donated by Morris Memorials. The inscription upon her tombstone reads, "Unknown white female, died November 1st, 1980. A new tombstone bearing her name, nickname, photograph, and the inscription, "Never alone, but loved by many," has since been erected.
Oh, that's good.
No.
That's good.
So they have her in an unmarked area in a cemetery? No.
Just like in a cemetery, but it has like a plaque on it.
Yeah.
Like a tombstone?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so let's talk about the ongoing investigation.
The remains of Walker County Jane Doe were exhumed in 1999 in order to conduct a further forensic examination of her remains, including the obtaining of a DNA sample from her body. This second forensic examination of her body revised the likely age of Walker County Jane Doe to be between 14 and 18 years old, with investigators stating they believe the most likely age of Walker County Jane Doe was between 14 and a half and 16 and a half years old. In November 2015, the case was officially reopened by the Walker County Sheriff's Office. DNA testing was also conducted upon high-heeled red leather sandals found at the crime scene. The results of this testing remain undisclosed.
So there's still no DNA?
Yeah.
Well, but they were undisclosed, right?
Yeah, they haven't said.
So they haven't said either or?
Oh, DNA from her or from her attacker?
I think I guess both, yeah.
Oh, from the shoes?
Yeah.
Local police departments also actively monitored other missing person reports for any potential matches to the victim. Investigators have also reached out to the public via various online websites, news media, and television networks in hopes of generating further leads of inquiry, all of which to date have been unsuccessful in identifying her murderer.
Oh, so to this day, no family member has came forward to say, like, my cousin, that's my cousin,
That's what I'm understanding.
Wow.
That's sad.
So when she said, "Who cares?" she really meant, "Who cares?"
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you understand that she must have had a not so good...
like situation?
Yeah, home life.
Yeah.
If she went ahead and just left her Minnesota town.
Yeah.
And no one's came. Wow.
Let's talk about the facial reconstructions.
Several forensic facial reconstructions have been created to illustrate estimations of how Walker County Jane Doe may have looked in life. In 1990, forensic and portrait artist Karen T. Taylor created a postmortem drawing of Walker County Jane Doe in which she incorporated an estimation as to the appearance of the necklace she had been wearing. An investigator at the Walker County Sheriff's Office has also created a facial rendering of the victim.
So they were trying to ID her by using a necklace?
I guess so.
So people can like remember, oh, I remember that necklace.
No, I saw someone wear that, or I gave that to someone.
Yeah.
Yep. Taylor has included this case in her book, Forensic Art and Illustration, in which she confessed to having experienced difficulties in creating her sketch of the descendant. As the only frontal photograph made available to her at the time was one taken after the victim had received extensive reconstructive cosmetic treatment at the Huntsville Funeral Home in order for her facial features to be sufficient to be viewed in an open casket funeral. Taylor further explained that a scale photograph of the girl's necklace was not made available to her, and she was forced to guess at the size of this item of jewelry for the facial reconstruction she produced.
I wonder if she would have drawn in different sizes, though. Like drew how it looked, but made it into different sizes to see if someone recognized it.
True.
oh, yeah, I remember I gave so-and-so that one. That,
yeah.
You know, it looked just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they wanted her to draw it, why didn't they include it?
That's true.
Within the decade prior to Walker County Jane Doe's identification, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children constructed and released two facial reconstructions of how the victim may have appeared in life. The first facial reconstruction was released in 2012, and the second shortly after the 35th anniversary of her murder. All facial reconstructions were created with the aid of studying mortuary photographs taken of the victim.
So that meant that her face must have been severely beaten then?
Maybe. Possibly, but maybe I was looking at the wrong pictures.
Maybe, but right? Because when we saw it, it was swollen, but it wasn't like she was still recognizable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to talk about her identification.
In 2020, the Walker County Sheriff's Office partnered with Orthrum Incorporated to attempt to identify Walker County Jane Doe via genetic genealogy. Initial attempts to extract usable genetic materials from her remains were unsuccessful, but testing on her preserved tissue samples yielded usable DNA, which was used to generate genetic profile of the victim and construct a family tree.
So they got, they couldn't
family members. They got family members, I think.
Yeah.
Tissue samples?
Well, they got the family tree and they started forming her family tree.
So they didn't do it like they would, like with the saliva or anything, right? They did it through her, like tissues in her body?
Probably.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do it that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Wow.
Through this family tree, living relatives of the victim were identified and located. DNA swabs from these individuals were used to confirm the identity of Walker County Jane Doe in 2021.
Wow. But it still kind of boggles me, though.
It boggles your mind?
And it boggles my mind. Because it's like, well, of course, they had to wait this long to do that. I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that the family themselves, didn't bother, try to look for her or...
DNA matches?
Yeah. Or just even try to put it out there as far as they could.
Yeah.
You know.
On November 9th, 2021, the Walker County Sheriff's Office publicly announced the identity of Walker County Jane Doe as 14-year-old Sherry Ann Jarvis, who had run away from Stillwater, Minnesota in 1980.
So she did run away. Okay.
Her identification had previously been announced in late September 2021 by forensic artist Carl Copeland, who had produced several forensic reconstructions of the victim, and who had announced that her identity was temporarily being withheld to give her family sufficient time to grieve privately.
Well, so her family did grieve, Michelle?
Okay, they did grieve, but I don't know, I guess I feel like they didn't
try like they should.
Well, from what I'm reading so far, I feel like they didn't try
hard enough
to try to locate her, though. I get if she's like a regular runaway, like, oh, that's so-and-so, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you really hadn't heard from her, unless she was from the moment she ran away up to her death, you know what I'm trying to get at? That she was keeping up with them, but, so many years passed and you still haven't heard from her.
True.
Like, at one point, are you not concerned that you haven't heard from your loved one?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, that's the way they are, but they still keep in touch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was keeping in touch because of her answer to the other lady.
Oh, yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? True.
Yeah. And like he was saying earlier, maybe they were looking, but just where they were from. Not past, out of state.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jarvis was known as Tati to her friends. She had been removed from her home and placed under state's custody at age 13. Due to her habitual truancy and had run away shortly after her 14th birthday.
So she was skipping school?
So she got taken from her family, I think.
Because she skipped so much and
they gave her to the state.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so she really didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
Right?
No one was really making her go.
Or maybe.
Not making her go, but no one was really getting on her for skipping so much. But then, why didn't the school contact the parents instead of placing her in the home, just going?
Maybe it was a loving family. What were you thinking, Ben?
Maybe that's why her family wasn't looking for her, because they didn't know. She ran away from the other family.
It's from the state.
Yeah.
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 But you would think that whoever they placed her with would have been like, hey, you know, she ran away. Because aren't there rules for foster parents?
Well, maybe she wasn't fostered.
Maybe.
Her final contact with her family had been a letter penned to her mother from Denver in August 1980. In this letter, Jarvis indicated frustrations at being placed in state custody where her intentions were to eventually return home.
So she was going to go back home.
She was planning to go back. So she did get in contact in August, And at that time, no one knows exactly where she was at.
Right,
no,
just Denver.
She was in Texas, but she was just not there.
Well, I said from Denver.
Oh, from Denver.
So she went to Colorado.
So she was in Colorado, but that was on her own, not with the state, right?
Yeah, she ran away.
She ran away.
Yeah.
She did keep in contact with them in August. Well, that's what I'm saying. Remember, my question was like, well, if they hadn't heard from her after she ran away.
Yeah.
But she did. But she was planning to return home.
So she was. You're right, Ben.
But maybe she was planning to return home when she was 18 and no one had to tell her anything.
She didn't say when, yeah.
She didn't say when she was planning to return home. But, like, if she went back, they were going to have to place her in the state custody again.
Because she ran away.
Because she ran away and she's still young. But if you're 18, you're an adult.
You can do whatever you want.
And you can do whatever you want. And they can't really put you in because that's when they, from what I hear, it's like in the foster system, like once you hit 18, well, I mean, you're an adult.
Yeah.
So.
At this formal announcement, a statement from her family was read, thanking the dedication of all who have worked to identify Jarvis and to provide the long-awaited, albeit painful, answers to their questions as to her whereabouts, adding that they take comfort from the fact that she had been identified. This statement also thanked those who had visited her grave while she had remained unidentified and emphasized the family's wish for her murderers to be brought to justice. The investigation into Jarvis's murder is ongoing, and investigators have stated discovering Jarvis's identity has given them some positive leads of inquiry they are actively pursuing.
I wonder what the leads are.
Ooh, so they have some leads.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it's just more than... I wonder how many suspects they have, though, as their lead. If it's just one person?
Maybe.
Maybe, like, a couple more?
I wonder if it's someone from the prison.
That's what I'm saying.
That's giving them leads.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They probably went in there, and then maybe one of them decided, like, you know what, I'm tired of being in here, I'm going to talk.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my friend has that, or I know my friend knows that guy who owns that type of car.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they find somebody.
I know. I hope soon they say who it was.
We just finished talking about her identification. Now we're going to talk about other hypotheses. And we'll talk about the first hypothesis, the Kathleen hypothesis.
In December 2015, a photograph surfaced of a white female, age approximately 14 years old and 5 feet 4 inches in height, and whose other physical characteristics also closely matched those of Walker County Jane Doe. The girl depicted in the image is a possible runaway named Kathleen or Kathleen, who may have hailed from Corpus Christi.
So Kathleen with a C or and Kathleen with a K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're saying that this Kathleen could have been her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because she looks like her, I think. Is that what I said?
Yes.
Yeah.
This photograph emerged after a brother and sister reviewed a private collection of images taken of themselves, then aged 12 and 10, at a motel in Beeville, Texas, in the summer of 1980. These siblings had encountered this girl at the motel in question, and both recalled that she may have lived with a couple at the time of the image was taken, and that she had expressed her wishes to meet a friend from the Texas State Prison in Sugar Land.
Huh.
Sounds like her.
So who is she going to go for? Yeah, there's no.
Wait, Sugarland?
That's what it says.
That's like another prison?
Texas State.
I said state jail?
Never see.
All right, maybe it's just a jail.
Maybe, hold on.
She's just going around meeting people in prisons?
Oh, it's prison. Sugarland. Sugarland's in near Houston.
State.
It's like right at the entrance of Houston.
Sugarland.
Here they have it two words, but I think it's one word over there.
Yeah, there's a. It's actually. It has under here historical landmark. It's a central unit prison, Sugarland.
And where's that?
Sugarland, Texas.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Michelle. Sorry. And she was staying, well, apparently she was staying with someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a couple?
They met up with her in Beeville, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's even a prison in Beeville.
Huh.
Oh, I wonder if she was like a prison pen pal.
Yeah, true, maybe.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Like, yeah. She's just going around these prisons.
That's weird.
Right, because Beeville does have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beeville's in near Corpus?
I think south of San Antonio?
Or somewhere around there?
Somewhere around
there. I think south of San Antonio.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe in between Corpus and San Antonio.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. But that's just
weird. I'm wondering if that friend she's visiting was transported to the different
prisons?
Prisons.
The last one
was over there in
Huntsville?
Yeah.
She's staying with a couple. Maybe that couple has a friend who's being moved around.
Maybe their son?
Maybe.
Both of these siblings sincerely believe that Kathleen with a C, Kathleen with a K, may have been Sherry Jarvis. A photograph of this girl, plus additional details of her physical characteristics and the circumstances surrounding the caption of this image, exist upon the Facebook page, Who Was Walker County Jane Doe? Sherry Ann Jarvis.
Okay, so it can't be that Kathleen, because she's already been identified.
Maybe at that time, I think...
she wasn't?
She was probably going around saying she was Kathleen. And that's how they think that...
Well, maybe.
Because from what I read from above, the brother and sister had, like, personal photos of themselves.
With her, right?
With her. I guess they were traveling and taking pictures.
They were playing around. Weren't they, like, didn't they know each other from the hotel?
Yeah, they were staying at the same hotel. Yeah. So I think they were playing and whatever. Yeah. And they would take pictures.
Yeah.
So, I guess they turned that photo into that thing on the Facebook page. And then... Because by the time they came around, I think everyone knew who she was.
Yeah.
But at that time, they only knew her as Kathleen.
Okay.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
She was probably going around making up names as she went along.
True. Yeah.
But I wonder if that friend she was going to meet was getting out of prison. Because don't you have to meet up with them when they're getting out? Like, they don't just get out and they bust them to some stop and that's where you get them. Like, you have to pick them up from the prison.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe that's what she was planning to do.
Maybe.
And he wasn't who he thought he was, and he was
going to
go back to jail.
I just don't understand why she was going through all these prisons.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that maybe he was being transferred to the different ones.
Possibly, but I think it's apparent or that couple she was with.
Maybe the couple had, like, a son. Maybe he was coming out. Maybe he was getting out, or maybe he was getting out around that time.
Yeah.
And he did something to her. And, of course, the couple's going to...
This is just speculation.
Well, of course. I'm just saying. That maybe the son did something to her. And maybe he didn't tell the parents. Maybe he's like, oh, she ran away. Because that's what she's been doing.
Possibly.
That's one of my theories.
This image and details pertaining to its caption are accompanied by appeals to the public to help provide the girl's full name and origins. All of which can be anonymously submitted to law enforcement should the sender wish to do so. Primarily, appeals were made to any individual who attended any elementary or middle school within Corpus Christi in the 1960s or 1970s, who may recognize the girl on this photograph. Kathleen with a C, or Kathleen with a K, was most likely born in 1966, although her precise year of birth is unknown.
So they were trying to say, like, if she was born in 66 in Minnesota...
Yeah.
But she didn't run away till like, what, so many years later. Are they going around to see if this Kathleen with the C or K was someone else and not Sherry?
No, I didn't understand it's her.
And she might have been in the...
In the hotel.
She might have attended the elementary school in Corpus.
Yeah, so I don't think so.
Yeah, that sounds true.
Yeah, I don't think so. The next hypothesis is the gender of perpetrator.
Some individuals have speculated Sherry Jarvis may have actually been assaulted and murdered by a female assailant as opposed to a male. This hypothesis was initially suggested by a journalist named Michael Hargreaves, who based this assumption upon the fact that no semen was found upon or within Jarvis's body, or at the actual crime scene, and that the only sexual assaults conclusively proven to have been committed upon the girl were performed by aggressively forcing an object or objects into her bodily orifices.
It kind of makes sense for it to be a female.
I can get where they're getting at with that.
All right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because there wasn't DNA in her area.
Yeah.
Yep. I can see that too.
Because if a man's going to do it, he's going to do it himself.
That and there'll be, there'll be like sperm or semen.
Yeah.
Some kind of
DNA. Right?
Yeah, man.
And especially if her face wasn't beaten. It was beaten, but it wasn't beaten too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy's going to be beating you, it's going to look bad.
Yeah. Okay, true.
So maybe the supposed couple that she was with, maybe it was the wife or the girlfriend?
Yeah.
Maybe she was getting jealous on how the...
Maybe she didn't like her.
She didn't like her. She just... Yeah. Like, I want to say, like, out of jealousy because maybe...
Yeah.
She was catching her dude looking at her in a certain way or something.
Well, maybe she just...
Not in a certain way, yeah, but maybe they were getting along or...
Yeah. Or she just straight out didn't like her. I don't know.
There's a lot of crazy ladies out there too, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hargreaves elaborated his hypothesis by stating that men who commit crimes of a sexual nature are typically known to bite their victims upon sensitive areas of the body as opposed to the shoulder, as had occurred in this case. The active male perpetrators of murders committed with a sexual motivation, occasionally collecting souvenirs from their victims, was also noted to be inconsistent with this case, as the necklace Jarvis had worn in this still prison upon her body.
That's true, too.
Yeah, it's true.
They didn't take anything.
And the bite marks, I understand that part.
He was trying to say that they bite him like in the sensitive areas, like if you get bitten on the shoulder,
it's the not shoulder's that, not sensitive.
It's not sensitive because you have the bone right here.
Breast.
But like if they did it like on the neck and right here in the boobs, butt area or whatever, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I would assume it would be more than just one bite mark too. You know what I'm trying
to get at?
If it was a male.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she did it. If it was a female, she did it just to kind of maybe catch her off surprise, like to catch her in surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So she could do her attack.
Yeah. And again, they didn't swab for DNA on that bite mark. Maybe they were accustomed to what they did.
But I wonder if they questioned those two, the brother and sister, as to see if they remembered how the couple looked like. Right. Or if they ever saw the couple, because she said she was with the couple.
Yeah.
True.
I wonder if they ever asked him, like, well, did you see the couple?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing if they did, they would have described them.
I'm pretty sure, hopefully, they did.
However, the fact that it is unknown if Jarvis had worn other items of jewelry at the time of her murder, and that her ears were pierced yet her earlobes held no earrings, may negate this portion of Hargrave's hypothesis. Furthermore, most of the girl's clothing was missing from the crime scene.
I mean, girls can have their ears pierced and not wear earrings.
Yeah.
I have my ears pierced and I don't wear earrings. The only time I wear them is if I'm going out.
Yeah.
I don't wear them every day. I do my day-to-day errands or anything.
Why not?
They bother because they're kind of heavy. I'm not going to lie. They're kind of heavy because they're just like the silver studs.
Uh-huh.
Right? But they're kind of heavy. So like throughout the day, by midday, I can feel them and it's starting to bother me.
Pointers down.
So it feels like that sometimes. And sometimes I catch myself having to pull like to kind of push it back.
Oh, yeah.
So I take them off and I'm like, so I only wear them when I need to.
Yeah, you see, so that's not really a big deal. But the missing clothes?
That's weird, though. Like, why are you taking her clothes? Unless that's there's weird. DNA on the clothes.
Well, true. I never thought about that. But there's DNA in her bite mark. I mean,
yeah, there's definitely DNA on the bite mark.
That's weird.
It's weird. But then again, it was a different time, so.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't have that technology yet. Just like,
well, yeah, but even back then they would. Maybe they easily take this in.
Swab it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would save DNA.
Maybe they felt like it wasn't necessary because they feel like.
Maybe they just didn't.
Maybe they didn't think of it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they feel like, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. The next hypothesis is linked to other murders.
A possibility exists that Jarvis may have been murdered by the same perpetrator as another formerly unidentified murder victim known as Orange Socks, who was murdered almost exactly a year before Jarvis and whose body was found in Georgetown, Texas.
You ever heard about her case?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
So she was found like almost in a field, right? Kind of like in the I-45 type kind of, like in a field out there.
Yeah.
And she was wearing these orange socks and only one was missing, right? She was only wearing one. But they leaked that her killer, right? They finally found who her killer was.
I think they might have.
I think they might have found who her killer was. And it turned out that she had bought those socks off of somebody, right? I think.
I'm trying to remember how it was.
Her mom had given her those orange socks. I think that's what it was. But they found like some kind of card on her, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that I think the guy who that card belonged to was the suspect.
Oh.
If I'm mistaken.
I see.
I think. But she was also like, I think she was sexually assaulted, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was sexually assaulted, and I think they linked her crime with another crime also too.
Oh.
Because around that time, it was her death and another lady's death too.
Huh.
And they were trying to pin to see if they were kind of related. Yeah,
never heard of that case.
Yeah.
Serial killer Henry Lee Lucas has also been named as a possible suspect in this case. Although the bite mark found upon Jarvis's shoulder was inconsistent with Lucas's dentistry.
Okay, so they did test for bite marks.
They just can't find who belongs to them. And you know what? like I said on today on that Dead File episode I was watching,
mm-hmm.
they were even trying to see if he was responsible for a girl there who was
murdered. That's right. Yeah.
I think her name was, I think it wasn't her right now. They said who it was.
Yeah.
But I think her name was Lara? L-A-R-A. Lara, right?
Lara
Crockett Muscolinos?
Huh.
But they, yeah, look, see, on season, Dead Files started season 9 on Saturday. It was so deadly reflections. Amy Allen helped a widow in Waxahachie, Texas. Who was consumed by guilt and the premature death of her husband. The trial time was very... Hold on. Wait, am I even on season 9? I'm on season 7 right now. So that must have been 2 episodes then. No, it might have been Linda Jean Phillips.
Oh.
She disappeared on August 8th, 1970, and her mutilated body was found on August 10th. And they think that Henry Lee Lucas was the one who did that to her, because around that time he was already on his killing spree, I think.
I see.
But that wasn't the case. It wasn't him, because when Amy was describing her murder, she said that she was in a room with her boyfriend, and then while she was in the room, 2 big guys came and grabbed her. And one was beating her in the car.
Yeah.
And then they were also doing... And then when they killed her, they, like, dismembered her arm.
Yeah.
And mutilated her. It was the way she was describing it.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine being a medium and seeing that? Did she actually see it? Or did she kind of, like... I wonder if she actually sees it, or she just, like, just hears them describing it.
I don't know.
No prime suspects have been named in this murder, although police have considered the possibility that the victim was murdered by a serial killer.
Possibly.
Well, yeah. Everything's possible.
Yeah.
But that I-45 that they were talking about with her is a whole different I-45 from the one that the killing fields, right?
Well, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing?
But I don't think she's part of that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, because they had mentioned something about the interstate I-45.
Yeah.
But that's different from the killing fields then.
Well, it's probably the same highway.
But she was not part of the...
Yeah, no, she was.
She wasn't considered as part of the victim.
No.
In 2017, a theory arose that Jarvis may have been killed by the same perpetrator known to have murdered 3 other females in 1980, whose bodies were also discarded alongside Interstate 45.
Huh. So does this mean she's a part of that?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they mentioned I-45 earlier when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't think about it until...
Yeah.
Until now when they were talking, we were talking about serial killers. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Is that the same I-45 or a different one? How many bodies were found in the killing fields?
Not sure. Quite a few.
Yeah, quite a few.
Gotta get back to those numbers.
I know, more than 3, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So maybe this is... when did they start discovering the bodies, I guess? What year?
Mid-80s, 90s?
Mid-80s, 90s?
Maybe.
So I'm wondering...
I think like mid-70s when they started.
Oh, mid-70s. I was way off.
So maybe she was part of it.
Well, I don't know, because serial killers usually have the same M.O.
That's true.
Yeah.
And all of them were killed differently.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's what they were saying. Wasn't there saying that they thought that maybe it was... No, that was Son of Sam, right? Where they thought it was 2 killers?
Yeah.
Or the town that dreaded sundown. That was... The town that dreaded sundown.
What was his name?
That wasn't the Zodiac. That was something else. But they thought it was... They didn't think it was 2 killers, right?
No.
So it was Son of Sam because... Well, I need to get into serial... Reading into my serial killer.
Only 2 of these 4 victims have been identified. And all have been strangled. All 4 victims have been described by investigators as being high risk.
So they're runaways.
But what does high risk mean?
Isn't it runaways, more like runaways,
prostitutes?
Yeah. Addicts.
Well, yeah.
Well, kind of.
One of these females, aged between 20 and 30, was located on October 15th, 1980 in Houston. She was a black female with possible Asian heritage and had died months prior to the discovery of her body. A 2nd female was also black. Her body was discovered beneath a bridge in Houston in December 1980. She was aged between 16 and 26 years old at the time of her murder.
So all this was on that same area where she was found?
Well, Houston, but she was found in Huntsville. Well, that's not her because... Oh, wait, they're trying to link her to other murders, right?
Yeah.
That what?
They're trying to link her to other murders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see it, though.
Well, that's where I was asking you about the killing fields and all that, because where they found her at.
Well, now I can see that connection.
Yeah.
I can see that now.
But I'm wondering, I don't know. I get all confused with all that stuff.
I know.
Well, not confused, but I kind of wonder if, like I said, like...
Like, if they are connected?
If, like, two serial killers, like, are at the same time, at the same spot without knowing each other. Like, knowing that, you know what I'm trying to get?
Yeah.
And maybe that's why so many bodies are discovered in the same area. Because when I was watching the Lifetime movie of the Green River Killer...
Yeah.
They well, of course, obviously, he was going back to the same spot, right?
Yes.
But, like, he wasn't putting them in the same spot in the... Like, he had them in one spot, and then he'll find another one, like, way across.
Yes.
Yeah, like, in different, like, little bundles. But I'm wondering what the killing fields, if it was two serial killers.
Using the same area?
Using the same area, but they didn't know they were using the same area.
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I just wonder why she was going to prisons. Yeah, different prisons.
That was weird, right?
Yeah.
That's the second time where she said that she was going to go visit a friend.
And another one.
So I'm wondering if, like I said, though, like, well, goes back to the couple she was with. I'm wondering if the couple's son or a family member of theirs was in the prison.
Yeah.
And they were going around visiting. Like I said, like, maybe he was getting, like...
Moving around.
Moved around. Because they do that.
Why so often?
Huh?
So often?
Well, not so often. Well, maybe for different circumstances. Maybe he just was getting in trouble in one.
Yeah.
So they moved to another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't working out there, so they moved him to this last one. And maybe, unless that was, he was serving time for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
And maybe the last one was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to go and meet him, and maybe he got out. And
I mean,
there's a lot of theories.
This is a weird case.
That's a possibility, because I don't see it being a serial killer.
Because
the way she got killed is just weird.
And there was no one else killed just like her.
There's nobody's M.O.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, with Ted Bundy's victims, they all died the same way? Like, the exact same way? Or, like, was it different ways?
He was different.
Huh.
Who else?
Very different.
Well, everyone knows that Jeffrey Dahmer did what he did, but, like, I'm trying to say, like
Gacy, Bundy...
The Green River Killer,
mm-hmm.
The Boston Strangler, but those were two guys, right? With the same old, they were cousins, Boston Stranglers, right?
No, Hillside Strangler.
The Hillside Strangler. They were cousins, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, were their motives, were their killings? That was one crazy case.
It was. I wonder if she left Minnesota with that couple.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Or did she meet them on their way?
Well, like, what if she was hitchhiking? Yeah, like, she hitchhiked and she came across them and...
Bad, wrong place at the wrong time.
Like, I was telling my mom, like, in the 70s and 80s, like, it was like, whoa, like...
You just hitchhike whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was running amok and no one was doing any stranger danger.
Yep.
Stranger danger happened with John Walsh's son, right?
Adam Walsh, yes.
Have you all seen the movie?
Is it a Lifetime movie?
Yeah, actually it is. I think that's where they aired it the first time.
Come on, Lifetime. She's back on your bandwagon.
Y'all need to make good movies like that again. Lifetime?
Sponsor her.
Sponsor us. Me.
Yes, sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
No, just me, because I only watched it. No, I'm just playing. But that one show that I like watching, the one movie called No One Would Tell,
mm-hmm.
The one with Candace, how would say her last name now?
Candace Cameron Bure.
Right? That one was one of my favorite ones I like to watch.
She just met the couple of them at the... If that was her. We don't know for sure if that was her.
That's true.
At the motel. You know what I mean? That was a sad case.
It was.
That was pretty sad.
I felt bad for her.
It was pretty sad. With a lot of theories.
Yeah. That's all for this episode.
Hope you all enjoyed this episode of the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you listen to our podcast. And please follow us, the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All of the links will be in the description. Until the next episode,
be aware of your surroundings.
Stay safe.
Stay vigilant. Bye.
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 Adios.